guy. Praise the Lord. I didn't make him do that, just so you know. Man, you have a mean pastor. The guy in the cast has to move the pulpit around. Well, that's just Jeff being Jeff. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, sir. Well, are you ready to be blessed this morning?
Amen.
Let's pray before we get into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. So thankful for your words, for your mercy, for your goodness. The Word is a GPS, Lord. It takes us to the right places. Take us to the right places this morning. Whatever you want to say, say it. Whatever you want done, do it. Father, we'll just follow you like a dog on the hunt. We'll just go wherever direction you want us to go. Hallelujah. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for direction, for revelation, for wisdom. Speak to our hearts this morning. I thank you my words won't be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And I thank you that we'll go to the new level of glory in this place corporately, a new level of glory individually. Father, we thank you for all you're doing and all that you've done and all that you'll do today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Of course, I was in Canada this week. You know, when I go to those conferences, they don't just benefit me, they benefit you. Because I go and get fed, and I get recharged, and I hear from heaven. And praise God, I get to come back and bring it to all of you. And I want to make mention a couple things that happened up there. One has been on my heart for a while, and I'm going to obey it. The next three services, Wednesday, next Sunday, and the next Wednesday, I will not be here. We'll have somebody fill in for me, but you'll be in good hands. I need to take some rest, or I'm going to be forced to take some rest. And I know that in my heart. And I can't remember the last time I really had a full day off. As much as I hate it, because I love being here more than any place in the world, and I can mean that. When I'm in the churches, it's just my comfort zone where I'm happiest, where I'm most thrilled. So to not be here is almost, for even to not be here for like a serious reason or to be out of time, just to not be here is bothersome to me, but I know that I need to do it. I've been running at an extreme pace for 5 years, but really the last 2 years with the other church. She'll testify to this. There's probably hasn't been a day gone by where I've had a full day off, and that's violation of God's word. I'm telling you this. A lot of pastors won't tell their congregations when they're going to be gone because the congregations are maybe at an immature stage where they think, well, the pastor's not going to be there. I don't have to show up. Well, how many of you know if God puts someone behind this pulpit, they're going to have a word for you?
Yeah.
So if you already plan on not being here, of course, we're not telling you to change your plans just to prove a point to be here, but asking you to be here in faith and ready to receive. And I expect to hear awesome testimonies of how God spoke to you in these services. So the next three services, just Wednesday, Sunday, and then Wednesday. And then I'm saying, okay, Lord, that's it. I'm alone again. Praise the Lord. I did what you told me to do. And so that was confirmed that I need to do that. Because again, I can either rest on my own or I'm going to be forced to rest by being in disobedience. And most people take week vacations and things like that, and I really don't do that ever, and I need to. So I'm going to do that and obey God, praise the Lord. But I want to share something that happened that I want you to be hooking your faith up with, and I want you to be looking for and expecting. The first night of the service, Pastor Nancy tried to preach. She kept getting interrupted in her heart. And if you want to go on Promise of Life Church in Canada, you can look at the archive and see this. It was at 34 minutes and 20 seconds. It was about 29 seconds long. I had Courtney write this down for me. She went back and listened to it and typed it word for word. And the reason I'm sharing it is because what was ministered to me had to do along the lines of my ministry and what I'm doing for heaven.
Amen.
Which means that whatever I get, you get to benefit from. And you know, when I go to these, I know everybody can't watch by live stream, and everybody's not in those services. And so when your pastor gets ministered to, I feel it's important to come back and share what was said so you know what to hook your faith up with and know what to expect. And it's pretty special that Pastor Nancy Dufresne, out of the whole church, would call me up to minister to me. I don't take that lightly, hallelujah. And so she did. And I want to encourage you, whenever you get a word from your pastor, not just through the preaching, but when, of course, the preaching you need to hook your faith up with, but if you get a word, get called up or get ministered to, for that to come to pass, you have to hook your faith up with that. I don't think that's going to happen. No, you have to hook your faith up with it. I remember Dr. Dufresne ministered to me one time along the lines of finances about something that I was going to be coming into. I was in a very tough time. And it was 9 months until that came to pass. Now, in that time period, I wasn't doubting the man of God. I wasn't doubting what he heard from heaven. I was hooking my faith and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now, of course, if that word bears witness to your spirit, We don't need words from people or special words like that. We already have the Word of God of the Holy Ghost. But Paul told Timothy, he said, fight a good warfare by these prophecies that were spoken over you. Sometimes those things are anchors to our souls, and they're just what we need at the right time. But if they bear witness with your heart, and that's, wow, that's right along, and that's green light in my spirit, hook your faith up and say, Father, I thank you that what was said is going to come to pass. Amen? So I'm saying this is going to come to pass every day. This is what Pastor Nancy said, word for word. She said, now, Pastor Michael, now when she said that, I didn't move because I thought she was talking about Pastor Michael. My birth certificate says Michael, but nobody hardly calls me that. So I just stood there. She said, yeah, come here. Give me your hands. She said, rooms of the Spirit open to you and revelation in those rooms, and it will turn you into another man. You will not even resemble. The preaching will change. The ministering will change. The way you flow will change. It will be a complete turnabout. Not that you are doing the wrong thing. That sounds good to hear. I'll receive it if I am. Not that you were doing the wrong thing, but now you're in a new place, and it will reflect the new place you're in. Praise God. Now that just means that's just going to benefit all of you. Praise God. Again, I want to read that. Rooms of the Spirit open to you, and revelation in those rooms. It will turn you into another man. Now, unfortunately, she was only talking about spiritually. I was hoping that it was met naturally, 6'2", nice hair, chiseled face. I mean, I have to apologize to y'all that I'm still wearing my Halloween mask. I forgot to take it off last night, so forgive me for that. But anyways, it'll turn you into another man. You will not even resemble. The preaching will change. The ministering will change. The way you flow will change. It will be a complete turnabout. Not that you were doing the wrong thing, but now you're in a new place, and it will reflect the new place you're in. So let's be hooking our faith up with that. What would that look like? Father, I thank you. Pastor's going to be different. A complete turnabout. Father, I thank you. We're going to a new place, a new level. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's been good, but it's going to get gooder. Thank you, Lord. Well, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. You know, I need to, it's not to justify it because it's in the Word, but if I'm rested, that's only going to benefit you. Amen. Really, it will. It only benefit you that I get recharged and rested. And, you know, I'm just naturally not somebody that likes to sit around and do nothing. I have a hard time with that. When I go hunting, my tree stand turns into a Bible school. I'm praying the whole time because I can't. To me, it's a waste of time just to sit there in a tree stand. Now, maybe that's a problem that I need to fix, that I should be able to just chill out. But when I'm in a tree stand, I got my Bible open. I got a Pastor Nancy book. I got my iPod in my ear so the deer can't hear it. And I'm listening to the Word of God just underneath my hat and things like that. And I'm just in there with my iPhone just typing notes, whatever the Lord says. So the whole time I'm even in a tree, I'm just doing these things. And so I'm not naturally somebody that likes to do that. But it's important. God did not create the body to run all the time. It'll take you out early, and it'll mess you up, and it'll cause sickness to enter in, and it'll cause things. And so, as much as it pains me, but it's only 7 days, I guess I can get over that, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So anyways, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own language. Well, what was noised abroad? The sound from heaven. God put on a show this day, and it drew the crowds in. Hallelujah. They had a move of the Spirit, the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost that the world had ever seen. And if you go through the book of Acts, you see that this wasn't the only time they had a move of God. That what's interesting about the book of Acts is this is the beginning to the New Testament church age. That the old had passed away, the old, all things had become new, and now the church is just getting started, and they're spreading this message. And then you have in the church in Ephesus, you have a church in the Philippian church in Macedonia, you have Timothy starting a church, you have the church in Galatia, you have the Roman church, the Jews, the ones that came out of the Jewish religion into Christianity. And so this is like the beginning of the church. And so what we see in the book of Acts was the model that the church was supposed to take after. Amen. That the church was supposed to look at and see, oh wow, they had moves of God. God showed up in their services. We don't have time to look at them all, but you see times where the place was shaken. I mean, sounds and moves and miracles, signs and wonders. And I long to see those days. I long to see that here in this church, in this community. You want people to come rushing through the door, start healing the crippled people. Start seeing miracles, signs, and wonders. That'll be the dinner bell that'll get people here for salvation. And we have the model of how to do it. But somewhere along the lines of church history, we've set this on the shelf and we've adopted religion, we've adopted traditions, and we've adopted man-made or man's ideas, and it's totally pushed the move of God out the door. Well, it's time that we bring it back in. It's time that we light a fire in this area and bring that back in. And so that was the model, and my desire is to see God move. When God moves, it touches everybody. Everybody. Listen, even if you're not the cripple being healed, when you see a cripple being healed, that affects your faith. That does something. Did it not do something to you when Albert got up here and testified? Even though we weren't the ones receiving the healing, it did something because somebody else got something. Oh my God's a healer. Oh, his faith stuff works, praise God. Praise the Lord, yeah. So that's the model. My desire is to see God move. My desire is to see you blessed, your children blessed. Your whole entire being moved upon. But here's the thing that we see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and we see this as a common thread throughout the book of Acts with this beginning church. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, oh boy, I just thought of something. I'm not going to be here for 3 weeks. Who knows how long this message is going to go? I got to just get all the next 3 weeks that I can't be. I got to get it all in right now. Oh, just buckle up. Buckle up. You got to stand up and jiggle your backside a little bit to get the feeling back in it. Do what you got to do. Hallelujah. They were fully come. They were all in one accord in one place. Now, again, I don't have time to go through it, but if you just type in either on Google or a word search and on concordance, one accord, one place, one mind, one heart, you see that was the common thing that they had going for them at that time. They were all on the same page. Praise God. One place, one accord. See, one accord means unison. I don't know, I get maybe people make fun of me for this, but one of my favorite things to watch is synchronized swimming. Who'd have thought? I love seeing the unison. I love seeing dance teams. That there's 20, 30 people and they're all doing the same thing. It's amazing to me. Right? They're trying to go somewhere, do something, and it's just lovely to watch, right? And when somebody's not doing what they're supposed to do, it's noticeable, isn't it? Well, one accord means unison. All doing the same thing, all acting the same way. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so, they were all doing the same thing, they were all thinking the same thing, they were all talking and acting the same way, and God was able to move on them. Remember when the Tower of Babel was being built and they all had the same language? They all spoke the same thing and the Lord said, that's a problem. We need to confound their language because when they're in unison like this, who knows what they can do? And they weren't doing things in the right direction. I said, we gotta stop this. They figured something out. They figured out the power of unity. Amos, I know you were all in Amos this morning before you came here, right? Just tearing up the book of Amos. Go to Amos 3 and verse 3. Now just look up there, because to find that book, you might be here for a while, right? Just know this, it's where your pages are really still crisp in your Bible. That's Amos. Amos 3 and verse 3, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Except they be in unison, right? The Message Bible says, do two people walk hand in hand if they're not going to the same place? If I was walking with Caleb, and we're on the playground, and he wants to go to the big slide, and I want to go over here to the swing set. We can't walk together if he wants to go to the slide, and I want to go to the swing set. We have to be hand-in-hand, we have to go to the same place. Matthew 12 and verse 25. Matthew 12 and verse 25. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself, husbands and wives, families, church, is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. We can't, if we want to see the mighty moves and workings of God in this place, in this community, spilling outside these doors, we are going to have to get on one accord, one page. We're going to have to all think alike. We're going to have to all talk the same way. Praise God. And I'm not willing to just play church. And I'm not willing to just do this and just, this is what I do in life. No, I'm doing this to affect human beings. And nothing affects human beings more than the power and the move of God. Well, when you see the head moves of God, it always seemed to mention. And they were in one accord, one place, one accord, one place, one accord, one place. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
And if you think for a second that you... listen to how much power you actually have. If you think for a second that you can't come into this place and affect what happens on that service, you're wrong. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. Of course, everywhere Jesus, he was a traveling road show. Right? He was a traveling ministry, a traveling church. Everywhere he went, he put out a show. Everywhere he went, he brought the kingdom of God, blessing, healing, peace, prosperity, provision, all those things with him. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1 says, and he went out from there and came into his own country. So he was going to have a meeting at his home church. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him? And even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own house and kin, and among his own house. And verse 5, notice this. He could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Now, what's the problem with that? He was doing mighty works everywhere else he went to.
That's right.
Everywhere else he went to. Now, do you think God was different?
No.
Do you think Jesus changed his ministry, did anything different? No, he didn't. The common denominator here, or the equalizer of the problem of Jesus Christ, of God Almighty, and the minister not being able to fulfill the plan of God on the earth, was the people. God could not supersede, Jesus, the minister, could not supersede what people were doing. And it says he could do no mighty work there, and he was doing mighty works everywhere. They must have thought Jesus just doesn't love us enough, but they didn't know that it was their fault. Verse 6, he marveled because of their unbelief. He went round about the villages teaching. We've said this a million times. There's three parts to every service. God's part, my part, your part.
Amen.
God's going to do his part. I'm going to endeavor to do my part. But you have to endeavor to do your part.
Amen.
So today I want to talk to you about your part. But see, we can't just say, well, okay, but that's going to be my spouse's part. I'm not going to participate in that part. That's not one accord.
Right.
Well, that's just good for the real... real excited ones about God, but no, one accord means we're all going to do the same thing. We're all going to think the same way. We're all going to go in the same direction. You know, when we're getting ready to go somewhere as a family, of course, when you have kids, it gets a little more interesting to get to places. And we're getting ready to go. You know, when things run smoothly, we're in one place, but sometimes we're not in one accord. Sometimes I think we're going to leave at a certain time, and she thinks we're going to leave at a certain time. Sometimes the kids are being told what to do to keep them in one accord, and they're off doing their own thing. And because we're not in one accord in one place, where we're trying to go is hindered.
Yes, that's good.
We can't get to the places that we need to be at the right time. God has an appointed time for things. He has a plan for this church.
Yes. Amen.
But if we have to drag someone along, it's going to hinder the process. Amen?
Yes.
We all have to hook in and be engaged. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, if you're okay with hindering what happens here, if you're okay with God speaking to you, if you're with not speaking to you because you messed it up, if you're okay with healings going undone, if you're okay with that, then just tune out everything I'm about to say. But if you have a sincere desire to see God's plan work, then you say, we need to go in one accord. Well, What's the one accord we're going in? The way your pastor's going is the way you need to go.
Hallelujah.
I'm the captain of the ship, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to direct us, and we need to get in line. Again, not weird cult type crazy stuff, but the Word of God type things. And so, praise the Lord. So I'm going to go through a service here and the different parts of the service and talk to you about one accord. Because that's what I'm talking about. When we step into this place, our thoughts and our actions and our ideas are not our own anymore. They fall in line with what one accord for this church is. And we know that if we don't, we're going to seriously hinder things. What's interesting is in Acts chapter 5, when they we don't have to go there, but when they had the accord going, there came some people named Ananias and Sapphira that got out of the one accord. They lied to the Holy Ghost. They tried to use their, they had sold a piece of property, which was theirs, and they brought only half of the price of land to the church, which is fine, but they told the apostles that they had bought it all. They wanted to look better than what they did. Well, there was such, it cost them their life, but you don't see in that place about the signs, wonders, and miracles keeping happening until they got dealt with and they got back into one accord. See, somebody stepped out of line. We don't want to step out of line. We want to get into one accord. And getting into one accord might be uncomfortable to your flesh. Getting into one accord might be uncomfortable to your mind. But I'm not here for your comfort, and you're not here for my comfort. We're here for His comfort. We're here to please Him. Praise God. And this might not be church as usual and what you were taught growing up, but I'll tell you what I was taught growing up didn't do anything for me. No power at all. We've got to get to the point where who gives a rip what Minister so-and-so told us, what Grandma so-and-so told us. If it's not the Bible, we don't want it.
Yeah.
Well, we have reverence and respect for those people, but we don't receive what they're giving us if it's not the Bible. So let's go through showing up at church, from showing up to when we leave. And again, we'll talk about one accord. Hebrews 12 and verse 28. Hebrews 12 and verse 28. Praise God. It says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably, notice this, with reverence and godly fear. When we step into this building, when we cross that threshold, of being out of these walls and into the house of God, we have to come with an idea of this is the house of our God.
Amen.
The presence of God. Now, the presence of God is everywhere. But this is where the manifested presence of God shows up, where I get my spiritual mail, where God is going to move in this place. God is in the building. When we step through that door, attitudes and hearts have to change.
Amen.
There has to be a reverence for the house of God. Not necessarily the walls and the plaster and whatever it is and carpet and the chairs and but I mean just the fact of what's in this place. The precious children, saints of God, are all gathered together, having a reverence when we walk through these doors. From the get-go when we walk in. Stepping into this place. I'll tell you, it changes things then when you see some dirt on the floor. You'll pick it up. You'll get down and pick it up. All the times I've walked by things and like, why are people picking that up? This is the house of God.
Amen.
There's dirt on the floor. There's paper on something that's or something out of order, you know, in the bathrooms. I'm just talking at you, but because you have such reverence for this place.
Amen.
That you walk in here with reverence. Okay, God, you're in this building today. That has to, my thoughts, actions, and attitudes have to change because you're here. Hallelujah. When you step through that door, see, people have the American church so backwards. Most people's mentality is, what can I get from my church? What can the church do for me wrong? Your mentality, when you walk in, what can I bring to this place today? Now, you have a right to expect to be fed. You have a right to come in here and expect to be fed, but that's all you have the right to expect to happen in this place. Hey, sometimes people think the church is a bank. Sometimes people just have such low regard. Or this is where I'm going to just have my cliques and meet my friends. That's not what this place is for. Now, we develop fellowships and closeness. Absolutely. But the mentality should be, when you cross the door, I'm bringing my supply today. My financial supply, my response, my faith, my encouragement, my prayers. And if you are someone that, what can I get from my church isn't doing enough for me, you have a wrong mentality. It's always about, what can I do for the church? What can I bring? My supply. Hallelujah. When you step through those doors. Are you walking through those doors? Now let me tell you something. There's a time and place when people can minister to one another in the sense of you let them know what's going on. And there's a time and place when you share things with your pastor. And my doors, my phone, it's always wide open 24/7 to people because I want to be a blessing. And I know life happens at times. And there's times to come and say, this is going on. And then I can point you in the right direction. I can encourage you and maybe straighten some things that are off. But when you walk through those doors, that is not the time to let the world know your stuff. And everybody can see it on your face. And everybody, and you're coming in here being Debbie Downer and Grumpy Gary and bringing and just sticking a needle right in that boom. The air gets sucked out of this place. That's a take mentality, not a give mentality. Now there's times, like I said, like you meet with me and then I can minister to you. But man, don't come in here wanting to just make sure everybody knows, no, you're bringing it out. Come in here with some faith. Come in here that whatever brought you in here with a sad face, I'm going to get turned around today. I'm in church. I'm going to get my answer. I'm going to get my fix. Amen? So from the time we show up, what's your attitude when you come to this place? Well, what happens then? Now I'm going to tell you three parts of a service now. The fellowship time. There's three times of fellowship here, isn't there? There's before the service, there's greeting time, and there's after the service. Now I want to clarify some things here. Go with me real quick to Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Acts 2 and verse 41. Now I'm talking about a mentality here. And trying to look like the New Testament church. Acts 2:41 says they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and notice this, in fellowship. And fellowship. You know what fellowship means? I looked this up. It's social intercourse. You know what that means? Communication or dealings between individuals or groups. Communication, fellowship, we're family here. Yes. Say, I'll just say this to help you out and tell myself first. Me being here, me hugging and loving on people is 180 degrees different from the mentality of my mind and my flesh, what my flesh wants to do. I want to be the quiet one in the back, nobody see me, just let me just stay in my own little world. But you know what? That's not God's plan.
Right.
And people that just come in, don't ever talk to anybody, don't ever go up to a new person, never fellowship, that's not one accord. Because the one accord that's being set, I'm greeting everybody, I'm talking to everybody, I'm going around to new people. Well, that's not my personality. Well, God never asked you about your personality. He said to conform to his will. And I'll tell you what, if this place isn't a friendly, loving environment, no one's going to want to stay here. A new person walks in and they go sit down. You can't expect them to be fellowship. But I'll tell you what, it irks me that at times I've had to talk to real social people. Now, they would have done it anyways, but the people that I've talked to are ones I know will do this. I'll say, will you please go talk to those? Because nobody else is. Someone's gone in and said that. And I've been watching a new person just go sit there and nobody's gone and said anything to them. It's not enough that I like them.
Right.
They've got to feel welcomed out there.
Yeah.
I like everyone. I'm a lover of all.
Yeah.
I am. Seriously. Fellowship, communication. Well, I'm just going to sit here and not talk to anybody. Now again, if there's times where you can't stick around, we're not even saying that, okay, you got to meet this protocol. We're just saying the mentality of, I'm just going to stick to my own self and I just want to be in my own world. Just leave me alone, everybody else. You've broke one accord.
Yeah.
Because that's not the one accord that's being set forth here. We're fellowshipping during those times.
Good.
I'm just telling you, if we have a new person, go, Pastor Dave, what do you do? Tell me about yourself. Like, step outside. Make them feel welcomed here.
Amen. Yeah.
Make them feel loved here. Praise God. Hallelujah.
That's good.
Do you just rush out of here as soon as you can? I'll get it. There's things you got to do. But I'm talking about the mentality. Just don't want to talk to any of those people, this guy. That's wrong. That's not fellowship. And what I'm excited about having the new building is being able to fellowship more. We have more space. To have maybe dinners after church once a month, or to do things during the week and get together and just fellowship, be around one another, encouraging one another, because that's what they did. They were breaking of bread together. They spent time together, right? Again, I'm not saying we have to do this all the time, but there has to be some times of it, and the times that we have are before service, the greeting time, and after service. Again, if you got to leave a day or you can't talk, I'm not going around checking. Okay, Vinny today. Vinny, yeah, you pass Vinny. You talk to people. Jim, well, you did good job, Jim. No, that's not what we're talking about. Don't paint that picture. Right? Because my flesh, you know what my flesh wants to do? Sit in my office to wait before service. That's what my flesh wants to do. I'm just naturally uncomfortable. I'm a very awkward person. I say dumb things at times, and things just come out of my mouth. I'm like, oh my gosh, if I just would have not said anything. And I'm just not very comfortable in that situation. But I'm not here to make myself be comfortable. I'm here to make everybody feel welcomed and loved. Because I do love everybody and want everybody to feel welcomed. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name forevermore. Can I just really hit something here?
Yeah.
I'm going to anyways, but I want to make sure you're in one accord. James chapter 2 and verse 1. Albert, will you go that in the Amplified, please? James chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, I'm going to tell you something that just gives your pastor a righteous anger and puts a fire in me that just makes me so mad at times to see this. James 2 and verse 1 in the Amplified. My brethren, pay no service or service, that's what it is, regard to people, or special service. Show no prejudice, no partiality. Do not attempt to hold and practice the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with snobbery. Verse 2. For if a person comes into your congregation whose hands are adorned with gold rings, who's wearing splendid apparel, and also a poor man in shabby clothes comes in, verse 3, and you pay special attention to the one who wears the splendid clothes and say to him, sit here in this preferable seat. Well, tell the poor man, stand there, sit down on the floor at your feet. Verse 4. Are you not discriminating among your own and becoming critics and judges with wrong motives?
That's good.
I have seen in this church, I won't say names and I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but I have seen it over and over. Certain ones walk through the door, get hugs and be excited to see him, and then other ones walk in the door, person makes eye contact with them, and never say a stinking word to them. That is backwards. Every single person in this place has been loved on by their pastor. And for you to say you haven't, you're not telling the truth. Now, I might not be able to get to you. Why? Because I play no favorites. I have no discrimination. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you're bringing. I don't care your social status, well, it doesn't matter to me. You're a child of the King. You're a person. And if we just are, well, I'm just going to go stay over here and just talk to this certain group of people. That's just wrong. There aren't going to be no cliques in this church. We are a family here. One accord. One accord. And to just go to someone because they look a certain way or they dress a certain way or they're more my type of person, that's just terrible. I mean, ushers especially, you better be greeting every single person. Now, don't just pay attention to certain ones. My goodness. Amen? One accord. Fellowship. Praise God. Well, are you ready for number 3?
Amen.
What about worship? Oh, boy, we're going to really, really, really step on toes now.
Come on.
What is the one accord that your pastor does? Right?
I can dance.
Don't think I can't dance. I can dance. I got some moves. And Psalm 63 in verse 3. Psalm 63 in verse
3.
It's interesting that in the book of Acts, another thing that you noticed is they would lift their voice in one accord. All doing the same thing. Psalm 63 in verse 3 Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Verse 4, thus will I bless you. Now notice this, bless you, Father. What is worship about? Not your entertainment. Now, oh, that's a good song. I like that song today. Who gives a rip about what songs are playing? Sing them with all your heart to Him.
Amen.
Worship is about showing Him you're special, Father.
Amen.
I love you. I want to show how valuable you are. It says, I will bless you, because worship's not to bless you, it's to bless Him. I will lift up my hands in your name. Guess what blesses the Father? Lifting up our hands to Him. He enjoys that. Well, I'm not comfortable. We're not in it for your comfort. We're in it for His comfort. I want Him to feel comfortable here. I want Him to feel welcome here. And when you just stand there, like we're bothering you, and you just stand there like you better be somewhere else, you're breaking one accord. How can you stand there during worship like God has not done anything for you? Like He hasn't rescued and saved your life. Well, He's here.
Hallelujah.
How can you do that? You're breaking one accord.
Good. Good
word. I know people say, say what you want, Pastor. I'm going to do whatever I want. Keep.
Come on.
You sow, you reap. You sow, you reap. You're going to mess up. You sow, you reap. So I'm not going to get. I'm not going to get into one accord. Why would you want to hinder that?
Yeah.
Hebrews 13, verse 15. Praise His name.
Amen.
Hebrews, we're talking about being in one accord. Oh, you just want your church to be one of those charismatics. No, I want my church to be Acts type of church.
Amen.
They all in one accord. See, if they're in one accord lifting their voice, one of them wasn't just doing this.
Yeah. Good.
And I know, I used to be so... And again, there's not going to be someone that may necessarily screaming your brains off, and there might be, but the point is to be engaged.
Yeah, that's right.
Be engaged, praise God. I'm telling you. Or just chair in front of you while worship's going on. How irreverent. You must not know the King is here.
Right.
Because when the King is here, all things change.
Amen.
Things change.
Amen.
Absolutely. One accord. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. What is praise, Pastor Mike? Well, that verse tells us, to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name.
Amen.
2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. I will everywhere, or therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. I'm not comfortable to lift my hands. Well, that's okay. So, what's your point? I'm not comfortable doing this. I think I'm just going to stay home because, no, that's wrong.
Right.
I'm not comfortable playing music in front of people. I'm not. It's one thing that makes my skin crawl more than anything. First of all, being in front of people, and I actually have to sing in front of them? He's stretching me. Because it ain't about me. Oh, wait a minute. That's a revelation, everybody. Hold on. Get this. It's not about you.
Amen.
It's about Him.
Amen.
Good message to leave on, Pastor Mike.
Yeah.
Somebody hate me for a whole week. You know? You know why we can preach messages like this? Because I believe this is a mature congregation.
Yeah.
And you can sense something big is about to happen in this town.
Yeah.
I mean, what we've seen is awesome. I mean... The way Pastor Michael and the other pastors talk about what's going on in South Dayton to other ministers and stuff, we haven't scratched the surface yet. We're just getting started. I know that in my spirit. Some things are... So we need to get on the same page, going in the same direction. We will be the Book of Acts in this church. Hallelujah. You say, well, what's the big deal about being in one accord of worship? Well, look at this. Tell me if you want this to happen. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. There's something about one accord. Well, we saw it. Kingdom divided. Two walked together. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. They lifted up their voice in one accord. You read that, the place was shaken, the Bible said. 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13. Talking about worship. Now, God's merciful, and we just ask you to stretch yourself, step out of your comfort zone, do something you've never done. Just engage and get going in that direction. Look at this. This is awesome. Go back to the King James, Albert, please. The Amplified, so darn wordy. We'll be here till tomorrow reading all that. It says, it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as what?
One.
To make one sound to be heard in... Now, what are they doing? Praising and thanking the Lord. They were all one. That means if somebody's just standing there, grabbing a seat, standing there, all casual, not saying anything, you're breaking one accord. Well, that wasn't happening here. They were in one accord. To one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Now notice this. And when they lifted up their voice, praise God, with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercy endureth forever, that then, notice, not before then, then was the house filled with a cloud, even so the house of the Lord, so that the priests, verse 14, could not even stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled. Something about people getting in one place and getting rid of their inhibitions, getting rid of their self-consciousness, and becoming God-conscious, something about that turned the Father on so much that he filled the place with a tangible cloud, so much so that the preachers couldn't even stand up. When they were in one accord in one place, a sound from heaven came. When they were in one accord in one place, of every voice, the Bible says the place was shaken. Why aren't we seeing that? Because we have people. Another song? Yeah. We have yet to hit the one accord. We have yet to hit the one accord in this church. All being in unison, just fully synchronized. Synchronized to the motions of the pastor. Praising, being engaged, being in faith, being in love, encouraging one another. And when you choose to bring your attitudes and your self-conscious and the way you're comfortable doing things, you have broken one accord and you have hurt the full potential of what can happen in this place. That's what the Lord says. The glory didn't fill the house until they all did it together. Right? The walls of Jericho came down when they all started to shout. You know what was happening on that battlefield. Start shouting, Charlie! The walls are not coming down, and that's what we should do in this place. You start, you see someone not engage in worship, bam! Worship! You are not going to affect this place. Or I should say infect this place. In a bad way. We probably really shouldn't do that. But no, just know who you're doing that to before, because you don't want to get a left hook across the cheek. Praise God. Well, let's go on. So we've seen it in when we show up, our fellowship time, worship. You see, worship sets the tone of the whole service. That's the time for us to get into one accord. All doing the same thing, singing to God. Lifting our voices and our hands together. That gets us into that one accord. That sets the tone for one accord. What about in our giving? If you're not a tither, you've broken one accord in this church. Now, I don't know who is a tither and who isn't a tither. I never will. Never ask for a salary. Don't look at the offering envelopes. Don't want to know. Don't care to know. But if you're not a tither, you broke a accord. Why? Because your pastor's a tither.
Amen.
People are tithers in this church. Malachi 3 and verse 10. You've broken one accord. People need to realize you can't separate money from your heart. You just can't do it. Jesus said they're going to go together. Malachi 3 and verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. All the tithes. That means whoever's part of that storehouse, whoever's part of that family, bring your portion. And when you're a part of that family and you don't bring that portion, there's not meat in the house.
Right.
We will do what God has called us to do when everybody that's called to be here will get on board and bring their portion.
Amen.
That's when the full provision will be in the house.
Right.
Isn't it like a natural home that the more people that you gather, the more of an outflow that needs to go out? Well, when we get more people added, the plan of God can increase, the scope of what we can do can increase, but if people aren't bringing that, when the scope's supposed to be increasing, the vision's supposed to be increasing, but the people that are joining us are not in one accord on that, there's not enough meat in the house, and what we're supposed to do goes undone.
Amen.
Yeah, giving. One accord. One accord, one mind in our giving.
Yes.
Praise God. I know. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Are you in one accord in how you give? Are you? Every time your pastor mentions tithing, do you get mad? I found that the people tithing and being blessed from it don't give a rip how much I talk about it.
That's right.
I could hear someone minister say it every single message. Yeah, it's awesome. It works.
Yeah, right.
I'm doing it. I have nothing to be worried about.
Amen.
Stuck pig squeals the loudest.
Yeah.
The stuck pig squeals the loudest.
Amen.
Pray. That's a lovely thought, isn't it? Just stay quiet about you're not tithing. No, no, no. Just don't complain about it to other people when you do. You just put the spotlight on yourself.
Right.
You are. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Giving in one accord. I hope that my heart is coming across in this message that I care about God's way getting,
yeah,
that God getting his way in our services.
Yeah.
I don't want to play church and just have some religious thing where we show up and it's dead and we hear 3 points in a poem and go home. Oh, we went to church today. No, I want to see power,
yeah,
miracles, signs and wonders,
yeah,
words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of healing working in our midst. Those are life-changing things.
Yeah.
Praise God. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Or now let's go to verse 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Who's the one accord we follow? Your pastor. Do you know when your pastor gives? How excited I am for offering time?
Yeah.
I can't wait to get here and put it in. It bothered me so much last week that I forgot my building fund. Now I know people say, oh, that's getting religious and you just give it next week. I know, but it bothered me.
Yeah.
I love giving to God. I love it.
Yes.
So much so that it just makes my tax man scratch his head every time. I don't understand. I don't understand. Sorry, Bob, I just love Jesus.
Amen.
Money's nothing compared to what I got.
Amen.
I got salvation, sir. I just can't help but give, and that's a way to show my heart.
Yeah.
Go to the Amplified, Albert, please. We're not too far from closing. We only got one more point after this. We're trying to be in one accord here. Let each one give as he is made up in his own mind and purpose in his own heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in prizes above other things and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. Look what it said before that. He's unwilling to abandon or do without it. He says, I'm not willing to sacrifice the way I want you to give. I'm not okay when you throw it in out of feeling forced or when you throw it in out of grumpiness or just to get it over. I'm not okay with that.
Sure.
I want my gifts being given to me for my children. I want them to be so excited what they're doing for me.
Yes.
And when you don't do that and your attitude is, yes, I'm excited, you've broken one accord. So man, we're hitting all the little things. Why? I want one accord. I want us to, when you're in the dance team or in unison and synchronized swimming, the smallest out of time thing is so noticeable that even the small things need to be given attention to. And this isn't a small thing, of course, but sometimes we just point to the next one that I'm going to talk about in worship. But no, our fellowship, how we show up, how our attitudes are, those things matter in one accord.
Amen.
Last but not least, go to Matthew 5 and verse 6. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed, the Bible says, that means to be satisfied, to be filled with the abundance of God, are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled or satisfied. We saw in Mark chapter 6 that a service was to take place in Jesus' hometown, and the will of God for that service and the will of God for that minister was not able to take place because people hindered it. The Bible says we'll only be filled or satisfied if we're hungering. And last but not least, one accord for the message. How are you? Let's say it this way. Are you somebody that I have to preach past? What do you mean by that? You are sitting there making it apparent with your body language, with the way you look. I mean, some people are shooting daggers at me. I'm not saying right now, but they shoot daggers at me. They want me to know that I'm rubbing, petting their fur backwards. They want me to know it. That's not helping me. That's not helping the service. Are you a watch checker and just hoping, oh, I hope he doesn't go along today? Oh, I hope we can get out of here a certain time. Oh, I hope he doesn't talk about that today. That's not one accord.
Right.
Because one accord is from the pulpit back that, God, whatever you want to do today, I'm in for it. I'm excited. Lord, what are you going to say today?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What is going to happen? And see, this is why we need to read that book, Visitations of God, again, because people might not be aware of what happens when I get up to talk. That is your visitation from God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how he does it in the New Testament. He uses men and women to get what you need in your life. Doesn't make me more special. That's just the role that I'm filling. He's the special one. The mail, the package is what... It's not the delivery guy or gal. It's what's the substance of being delivered.
Amen.
Ephesians 4 and verse 11. You know why people can use the excuse that they're tired and they just didn't have time and it just wasn't worth? Because they don't realize that God Almighty is going to say something to them in church.
Yeah.
If you knew God Almighty's physical presence was going to be here, more efforts would be made, more schedule adjustments. Does the Bible or does it not say, seek ye first the kingdom of God? That means dead center is God's kingdom and God's things. And everything else, your bingo, your golfing, your whatever you do on the outside, this with your kids, that with your kids. I'll tell you what, be careful, parents.
Yeah.
Be careful, parents, that have sacrificed spiritual things for natural recreation things for their children. That's what you'll reap. No sport, no activity is ever going to come between the house of God and my kids.
Amen.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Why? Because that's the value. But now again, he's going to do it. They're going to do recreational things and things outside the church. I'm not saying those things are wrong. But when they take the place.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's right.
When they take the place. And just so you know, church, there's a God's been dealing with me about this. Coming up here within the next month or two, we're going to have either a Wednesday night or a Thursday night, we're going to designate it as a family dynamics type service where I am going to talk about what the Bible says about raising children. We have a lot of parents-to-be and parents that have young kids in here. We just need to know what the Word says, and it'll help us, and things in marriages and stuff like that. So we need to get those things out there, but so many times people are sacrificing their kid being in church and hearing the Word of God because of outside things. I'm not... What do you want? I love this. I've literally can count the times I've hunted on one hand, and it's November 1st. That's unheard of. It's been because I'm so busy, but also it's just the desire. I was talking to my pastor about the other day. It's not the same anymore. When you start to get God focused, these other things, they're not as important to you. I still enjoy it. God's given us things to enjoy. But he said something to me. He said, Pastor Mike, when you get to heaven and stand in front of Jesus, he's not going to look at you and say, good job, sir, you killed 8 bucks.
Right.
It's not even going to matter. And all these things that we put into our children, and we run around the rat race and put God on the side, and we're chasing after, it's out of order, and it's backwards, and it's hurting your life, and it all means a big, fat nothing in the end.
Right.
Again, it's okay to have things that are fun to do. In fact, you can get into the ditch and be so spiritual you're no earthly good.
Yeah.
Just when you don't do anything for yourself. You don't have that fun. That's not God. That's a ditch.
Yeah.
We're talking about keeping the kingdom first and then everything else. But see, the reason that that's not the way it is in a lot of people's lives, because they just lack the simple revelation of what happens when you're here. I can tell you the most life-changing moments in my life have happened when I was in church. I heard a word from God through the preaching. I got ministered to in a supernatural way. And it changed the whole course of my life. Didn't happen out sitting on my couch with a bag of sour cream and onion chips on my belly. Happened when I was in church because I knew God's there. God's speaking down at that place. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And he gave some, talking about the gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Well, how does it do? What are those things? Well, they minister the word of God to your life. You make adjustments according to the word, and then you get more perfected. I guess you can't just have you and your Bible and Jesus.
Come
Oh, just me and sweet Jesus going to perfect me. Nope. He's not here anymore. He sent ministers to be the ones to strengthen and perfect you.
Amen.
This is your visitation, Luke 19:41. We're almost done. Luke 19:41. Do you all know that I love you? Do you all know that we're just trying to get us to a place? Praise God. One accord.
Amen.
Again, we're talking about when the message is being preached, what's your expectation level? Are you a watch checker? Oh, just get done with all this. I say, oh God, here we go again. Or are you? That's God speaking to me. Now, I'm not God, but that's God speaking through my pastor.
Yeah.
God Almighty is getting me something from heaven through that guy.
Yeah.
Luke 19:41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, this was Jerusalem, and he wept over it. Jesus is crying. I get it. I understand what he's going through. Because if there's one thing that you want as a pastor, someone's asked me, Pastor Mike, what's the one thing you want? Number one would be that people would get it. Because if people get it, they'll walk in the blessing of getting it. And Jesus wept over it. Verse 42, saying, if you had known, even you, at least in this thy day, the things that were belong unto thee, things which belong unto thy peace, but they are not hid from your eyes, for the day shall come, verse 43, that your enemies shall cast a trench about you, encompass you round, and keep you on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and your children within thee, and they shall not leave in you one stone upon another. He's saying desolation's coming to you, Jerusalem. Problems are coming. He was weeping over that, because he didn't want people to go through that. As a pastor, it's almost a burden at times, if you don't stay in line with the grace that you have for people. It's non-stop, 24/7. All that runs through my mind all the time are the people of the church, your faces, praying, can't pray enough, can't preach enough. I just want you to get it, praise God. And it says, why did he do this? Because they knewest not the time of their visitation. What was their visitation? A God-filled man in their midst, and they didn't even recognize it. When he was in Mark chapter 6, he was a God-filled man, but he was just Joe Schmo to them, and they'd missed out. If you understood, listen, I know, and this is not demeaning, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm good with who I am. I'm okay being five, I'm going to say five, I think I'm lying, but five. I'm okay with the gray hair, it doesn't bother me. Short jokes don't bother me, Jim. They don't bother me. I can't do anything about this. This is what I got, praise the Lord. And I know this building isn't full of splendor and, you know, different things and, you know, the walls. I mean, it's just not very, you know, it doesn't look like a museum or anything too splendid. I get that naturally, on the surface, it doesn't seem like much, but there's something going on here.
Amen.
There's a God-filled man in your midst, and if you don't recognize that your pastor is your visitation in your life, we will never be in one accord, because you'll show up here, oh, what's that jerk going to talk about today? Oh, what's, here we go again, it must be what he wants to just talk about. If you walk in here with that, then you're going to sit there a certain way and you're going to break one accord. The one accord that we need to be in is so spiritually on the edge of our seat. Ooh, what's Pastor got for us today? What's Pastor got for us today? I know he's got our mail from heaven. Mail time. Ooh, I can't wait to hear it. You're responsive during service. You're there at attention, excited. Amen? What is that a thing of? One accord. Hebrews 13:17. Wow, we're past 11:30. I told you. Mary Jo's a good one. She's got it handled back there. Hebrews 13:17. This is our last point, but I want to get some things across. Again, I'm not going to see you for 3 weeks. The preacher's got to preach. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Now notice this. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Real quick, 2 Timothy 1:16. 2 Timothy, and this will be the last verse that we're going to go to. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 1:16. Well, it ain't there either. It is 2 Timothy 1 and verse 16. Hallelujah. Aren't you happy that I'm not perfect? Aren't you happy that I say words that don't even exist? But sometimes I get spit in the corner of my mouth, and sometimes I spit on the front row. I'm just normal like you all. Just contending for the things of God. Amen? Please don't ever think I'm unrelatable, because I'm not. You know, just come spend a day with me at home. You'll know how human I am. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 16, the Lord give mercy. Paul's point is to the house of Onesiphorus. Why? He often refreshed me. The verse before said that it is not profitable for you to make it so I don't run my race with joy, and that I do things with grief. I can't tell you how valuable the plan of God going forward it is to have people that are refreshing to me. Amen. There are two types of people in the body of Christ. Life suckers and life givers. Some people suck the living life out of every situation, and some people bring life to the situation.
Amen.
It is not profitable for you to make my life miserable. To sit there in a message with an attitude of, will you please get done? I'm not happy with what you're preaching in. That brings grief to me, and it's unprofitable to you. I so crave. There are certain people, when they're not in a service, it bums me out. Because they bring a supply to the service, and they draw on the gift. And it just makes my life a whole lot easier. And then there are people, when I preach, that it's like preaching to a brick wall, and it's bouncing back and hitting me smack between the eyes. That's not a blessing. How can you change that? Come in there with an attitude of, what am I going to get today? I'm so excited. Like, even make a commitment. Say before you come in, I'm going to get something from God today. God, you're going to speak to me through my pastor. My pastor's a gift of mine. He's going to say what you need me to hear today. And I'll pick that up in service, and that'll refresh me, and that'll bless me. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I've learned a secret, and I'm just going to use it in my terms with my pastor. My pastor, I am well aware, is my visitation on this planet of God Almighty. He's my man, my visitation. I want my pastor to want to be around me. So I'm going to do all that I can to make sure he's refreshed. Because I want him to spend all the time he can with me. Because I know he's got a gift. And I want to get anything I can from him. Just telling you how your pastor does it. And then there are people that I know my pastor does not want to spend a whole lot of time with. Because they don't refresh him. They bring him down. They're grieving to him. Be a refresher. Make up your mind to be a refresher. We're talking in context of the message. Come in here with an attitude of receiving. And I'm excited to hear what pastor has today.
Amen.
Amen. I encourage you to go back and listen to this message on live stream. Get this down. There's some important things that God wants to do in his church. But we got to get down that one accord, one mind, one heart, one accord. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We're so thankful for the word. So thankful for what you've imparted to us. I thank you for mature people that can receive these kind of things. We're not mad at anybody or upset with anybody. Father, I just have such a passion and desire to see your will come to pass in this earth, in this town, in this church. So Father, I pray if any of those 4 or 5 points that we mentioned would stick out in somebody's heart that maybe they could do better in, or they could see, you know, I haven't fully been in one accord in that area. I pray, Father, that for the love of people and for the love of the plan of God, they would make adjustments and they would tweak it. They wouldn't get offended. They wouldn't get huffy and puffy, but they would say, yeah, one accord. I want to look like the Bible looks. And so, Father, I thank you that this message is, this will be a mark as we look back on into the things that we go forward in as a place where we set forth into a new direction, a new place, a place of unity, a place of one accord, a place of throwing out our own desires, our own wants, our own emotions and feelings in the sense of the service. Now, those places and things that are going on, we want to know about those things, and I want to help. But when it comes time for service time, we're just here to bring our supply in one accord and to get us to where we need to go each and every Wednesday and each and every Sunday. Father, I thank you for these precious people. I love them so much. Father, it's hard for me to even miss one service. In 5 years, I think I've missed like 4 or 5 services. I just But Lord, I thank you they'll be blessed. I thank you they'll hear from heaven in these next few services. I thank you have a word for them. It's about you. It's not about who's saying. It's about the person delivering what you have. So we thank you for that, Father. We love you and bless you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If you're listening by live stream or listening on the archives, ask yourself that question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If the answer is, I'm not sure, I don't know, well, it can be easy. You just call on the name of the Lord. If you believe Jesus died and rose again, you are a candidate and qualified for salvation. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody in here who've never received Jesus and you want to? Would you just lift your hand if there are anyone? I'm not surprised about that, but I don't know everybody that's listening by live stream or in the archives in the future. If you can say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, I'm not sure I've accepted Jesus, just simply pray a prayer like this. Just say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross, and I believe you rose again. Would you come into my heart? And he will. He said, if you call on his name, he'll save you. And if you do that, get a hold of us. Send us an email. Give us a phone call. We'll get you hooked up in a good Bible-teaching church so you can be blessed going forward in your new walk with God. We love you, Lord. Let's thank him for the message today. One accord would be everybody saying thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the message today. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you rush out of your seats, don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. And don't forget, parents or guardians or whoever's picking up the kids, if you could make a line on the opposite side of the bathroom, get the kids one by one, it'll be a lot more orderly and be better. So, amen. You're dismissed. Have an awesome rest of the weekend.
The sound that makes